This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Good Friday morning to you. Such a nice ring to it. I'm in Chicago at AM 670 The Score, where actually it wasn't that windy. On Thursday, I arrived on Thursday morning and had a really good experience. An event that I was part of with the USGA on Thursday evening went really well. And it was great to get out and talk to people face to face and even encountered a few fans of the show. People who listen on a regular basis, either to the podcast or have lived in other places around the country and are familiar with After Hours. So that's always fun. It's neat when you get someone who's so excited about the show. And it reminds me that even with the grind and the upside down hours, that it's definitely worth it. And we're connecting with people around the country. So that's awesome. Monica was very excited to talk about the show and then dragged her husband over. And I think he doesn't listen, but she does, which is kind of fun. And then I had a chance to tell a few other people about what we do and about the network and even about our satellite radio channel as another option. I'm always trying to work that into conversation these days when the radio show comes up. So it's good to be here, and I appreciate Mitch Rosen, the program director of our Chicago affiliate, for giving me some studio space with windows to see out in the city that looks so calm below. So good to be here. Inside the Quicken Loans studios, no matter where I go, Quicken Loans is a national mortgage lender. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. By the way, sunshine in Chicago on Thursday, even though there was snow on the ground when I landed. And I guess temperatures could get up into the low 50s on Friday and Saturday. But even talking to some of the people I encountered, Uber driver and then some locals, they all are feeling the desperation for spring as well. So on this Friday morning, if you are in a place where spring has already sprung, you should just have a bigger smile on your face. There are some of us that just would do about anything for some warm temps and it to feel like spring. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It does make me giggle a little bit that the NFL turns its 2018 schedule into now a big event. It's like a party. And it happens the week before the draft, and there are TV specials, and there are breakdowns of the schedule, and the games are highlighted internationally as well as on holidays. And some of the matchups that, based on previous results or personnel, could be intriguing moving forward into 2018. I did not look at the schedule. Not only did I have a lot on my plate on Thursday, but it's just not the thing that floats my boat. It actually feels like a big tease since it's the middle of April and there are no games until September 6th. That's the opener, the season opener. I did check the date to make sure I knew what to put on my calendar. Ha, football's back. But I'm not going to spend time looking at the schedule, at least not now. Maybe when it's not quite so crazy with basketball and with hockey and just everything else that's going on. But I have seen a bunch of your tweets, but asking you if there's a date that you have circled on the calendar. And some of you have sent me pictures. Some of you have sent me your team's entire schedule. Some people are already looking at games in week 16 and 17 and saying these could be for division titles. Woo, let's tap the brakes a little. Except I know when it comes to the NFL, we very rarely tap the brakes. We go all in. We go 150 miles an hour all the time. So if that's you and you're excited about a potential date on the schedule, some of you love the Thanksgiving games and already looking forward to that and thinking about food and football and family together. That's cool. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's see. Some of the things I want to get to this hour to make sure that we don't skip over anything in our final hour of the week. There is potentially a big change brewing for one of the New York baseball teams. And in addition, there is another loss in the broadcasting world that struck me personally. And I'll share that, my experience with you. As a kid growing up in New England, it's a voice. His is a voice I will always hear in my head. But why don't we start with some of the playoff action from Thursday night. The Philadelphia 76ers finally got their man back. They finally got their edge back. Now, I get it. They won 17 games in a row, and they had already taken one game off of the Miami Heat. But Joel Embiid on the court makes them, I think, makes them, let's see how I can do this analogy. They have more teeth when he's on the court. That sounds odd, right? Because they're a good team even without him. Again, they extended that win streak to 17 games even when he was on the shelf trying to recover from the broken bone in his face. And even as he was chomping at the bit to get back. But you put him out there on the court, and there's a different attitude, a different tude. Tude feels like it's more applicable than attitude. They've got a different tude. The Sixers have teeth, and they bear them sometimes when Joel Embiid is on the court. And it's also good for him after all the work that has gone in. He's the guy. He's the guy that is always trusting the process and has been trying to encourage other fans, as well as the Sixers themselves, to trust the process for so long. He's a personality as well as a guy who's an incredible player. So good for Joel Embiid and the Sixers that as he returned to the basketball court, made his re-entry, his first ever postseason game, that they also played well around him.
8 seconds to go here in the third. Here's McConnell on a drive. Nobody stops him. He bursts in and gets a layup. And T.J. McConnell scores it. And a foul on the Heat. Covington out to Ersan Ilyasova for three. It's up. And good! Ersan Ilyasova pours in a three. And the 76ers lead by 8. 103-95. Shot clock at 5. Marco knocks it away. Bellinelli steals it. Sixers on the run. Down low Covington. He goes to Dario. And Sharks in the lane. Left-hand layup is good. Driving right to left. Marco Bellinelli steals it. Dario Saric, 5 in a row. Sixers by 10. On the left side of Embiid, he dropped it. James Johnson's on him. Joel shoots a 3, and it's good. Joel Embiid stepping out and knocking down a 3. The big man is back in a big way.
Not only was he injured and not playing basketball, now you got to come back in on the road and play a playoff game with a mask. And it's not like there's a clear, vision line out of the mask. It has a, protective lens in there as well. And, for him to come back under those terms in that situation and produce the results that he produced and help lead us to a road playoff win, I'm very, very proud of him.
Brett Brown, the voice of the 76ers head coach, and he's the guy, not just him. Okay, so he represented Joel Embiid, that kind of gate he had to go through to get back onto the court. And there was a natural kind of frustration there for Joel because he felt like he was ready to go. And yet it was not until late on Thursday that the green light was actually given. But Brett praising his young star because of everything he's done and everything he's fought through to get back on the court. And certainly there's a little bit of rust after being gone for about 3 weeks or so and having to wear that mask. I get it. Social media was all lit up about how cool it looked and kind of coming up with other models. But according to Joel, it was moving around a bunch and sometimes he couldn't see out of it and it was awkward and he wants to be done with this whole thing. But he ends up with 23 points and 7 rebounds, 4 assists and 3 block shots. And like I said, brings that extra edge to the Sixers to the point where, that Justice Winslow, maybe he thought that the only way he could get Joel Embiid off the court was to mess with the mask. And so he steps on it I don't know if he was actually trying to rip it apart. But these playoff series, they bring a little spice to them. And Embiid said afterwards when he was meeting with the media that, he doesn't know I have 50 of these. And so it's not going to be that easy. Not so fast, man. You're not going to be able to get me off the court now that I finally come back. And so it was worth the wait. It was hard for him to have to sit and wait through that end of the regular season and the Sixers grabbing the 3 seed, but also missing out on the beginning of the postseason. But now he's finally back in the mix, and his playoff debut results in a W.
I felt like it was the time to come back, especially after watching how physical the game was, that game too. And I felt like I love this moment. I love being physical. I love attacking. I love contact. So I felt like they needed me in that way.
I have no idea how this playoff run ends up for Joel Embiid and the Sixers. And there's been a lot of talk about how they're a year ahead of schedule and all that jazz. And maybe they are. But they're good for the NBA. It's this fresh infusion. Not that they're all young players. Marco Bellinelli and J.J. Redick, I mean, they're a big part of this too. Bellinelli's been great off the bench in the first 3 games of this series. But to have stars like Embiid and Ben Simmons, who've got a personality and they're not afraid to use it, and Markel Fultz, who's still getting comfortable, obviously really young and has missed a good portion of the season. But this team, because of the star power there, because they're different, and because people have been waiting a long time to see this finally play out with the leadership of Brett Brown, it's awesome. It's good for the league to have this team be on the playoff stage right now. So congratulations to them, 2-1 lead in that series against the Miami Heat. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The other 2 series that were played out on Thursday night, got to get my days right. Still dark outside, but it is Friday morning. They were from the Western Conference, and the big storyline around the Spurs, of course, was not having Greg Popovich. Just odd not to see him there. He's synonymous with that franchise and with that city. Certainly good for him to be with his family. And I know even though he didn't want there to be a moment of silence for his wife or even a tribute video, anything like that, he expressly told the Spurs no. He wanted the team to focus on the game. Because of the relationships that Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili and some of the other Spurs have had with the Popovich family, there's no way that doesn't cast a pall. And they came out of the gate with a lot of fire and a lot of intensity. They just don't have enough to be able to keep up with a team like the Warriors. And we may be seeing some major changes in the offseason for the Spurs. I think the fact that they're in an 0-3 hole in this playoff series is not actually the biggest, I don't want to say question mark. It's not actually the toughest part for them. This probably wasn't a year without Kawhi Leonard in which they were going to be able to get all the way to the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals. But them being in this 0-3 holes, not the biggest problem. And certainly on the horizon, there's a lot more that's looming. But at the very least, To have that game last night and to have these guys go out and like they always do with the discipline, the focus and give it their heart and soul to do that for Greg Popovich and for his family, I'm sure it was greatly appreciated. And it was good for him after everything he's given to the game of basketball and how often he's been away from his family for the sake of basketball to be able to spend this sacred time with the people who know him as something other than a basketball coach. And then you had the Blazers and the Pelicans, and this could be one of the biggest surprises of the first couple of weeks of the playoffs. I was sort of, commenting in jest on Twitter when I was talking about some of the best backcourts in the NBA in the Western Conference, because it's you can't necessarily make any determinations based on a few games, right? It's longevity, it's tenure, it's a track record. And the Pelicans, while they are playing extremely well and have now put the 3 seed in the West in an 0-3 hole, it's not a long track record for that backcourt. But Jrue Holiday and Rajon Rondo have outplayed CJ and Dame of Portland. And so I kind of talk it out loud and wondering if maybe when we muse and debate the best backcourts in the NBA, if the circles should be opened up a little more to include this tandem in New Orleans. plus Anthony Davis and Nico Mirotic with a big game, actually the high scorer for the Pelicans. So we'll talk a little more about that because this is a huge surprise to me early on in the NBA playoffs. Plus a question mark for one of the top teams in the East on the ice. And as I mentioned, a potential big change for a New York baseball team, but it's not the one that probably pops into your mind. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. In our last hour here from Chicago, AM 670 The Score, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Two-on-one coming with Carlson. Along with Stevenson, a shot, rebound in front, a backhander that comes for Stevenson, and somehow stays out. Might have gone off of Danek, and now a shot, they score! Tom Wilson from the outside turns and fires the rebound. Around to Backstrom. Left hash up high, and a shot, rebound coming, Ovechkin a second chance, losing front, they score! T.J. Oshie goes to the front of the net and scores! Right side into the circle, a shot blocked and run down by Cole, coming away, the shot, they score! Wilson gets it out to Ovechkin, it's a 5-on-5 goal! Still only 23 shots for the game as Panarin was wiped out by Eller, a shot, they score! Evgeny Kuznetsov into an empty net, and Washington is going to even the series here in Game 4. It's 4-1 Washington.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It is possible for the Blue Jackets and the Capitals to play a game that doesn't go into sudden death. Not that I was complaining, but Game 4 in Columbus, Ohio, the first one of the series that did not require overtime. And the Capitals played their best game of the series, did not allow the Blue Jackets to climb back into it once they had built a three-goal lead. And Alexander Ovechkin, you hear the goal that he had with John Walton on the Capitals radio network. So this, to me, felt like a game in which the Capitals got back to the type of hockey that they want to play, and you could see their potential. Columbus had been able to climb back into it and overcome deficits to win, you know, a couple of the earlier games, but this was one which didn't feel like the Blue Jackets had the same intensity, the game itself not the same intensity, and good for the Capitals that they were able to pull back to even. Still, though, only wins by the visiting team. So now Game 5, we'll go back to D.C. We'll see whether or not Washington can protect the home ice the second time around. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Bruins, like the Bolts in the East, the top of the East, continue to play well. Those top two teams in the Eastern Conference have definitely, I think, sent a message and proved that they're the elite in that conference. However, bit of a head-scratcher with the Patrice Bergeron being a late scratch for the Bruins in their Game 4 against the Maple Leafs, and only knowing upper body injury. And there had been no indication of that earlier in the day when they were getting ready to hit the ice. So that's maybe something that is something that Bruins fans will want to keep their eyes on. But also, you know, the rest of the NHL is thinking about it, too. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I think I just said that. But it's that point of the night when I might repeat myself just a little bit. Okay, so going back to the basketball so I don't do any more spinning of my wheels. The Pelicans, this is incredible. The Pelicans have beaten the Blazers at their own game. And I'm talking just backcourt versus backcourt here now. Rajon Rondo and Drew Holiday had another 32 points and 18 assists in Game 3, which was the first one back in New Orleans. They also had 8 rebounds and 5 steals between them. And while, you know, it's not as many points necessarily as Lillard and McCollum, and you don't think about that backcourt having the same explosive capabilities, they have been so efficient. They played so well together. The defense has been awesome, too. And you get the frustration from McCollum and Lillard, and you get the smiles from Holiday and Rondo. And so that's that matchup, just the two of them against Lillard and McCollum, has been fascinating to watch, because you don't think about Rondo and Holiday as one of the top backcourts in the Western Conference, forget the NBA, but the way they're playing right now, the way they're handling the ball, and I mean, certainly there are turnovers because they do a lot of alley-oops to the rim and kind of passes to set up Anthony Davis. It's been impressive to see how they have played the defense, but then also provided the pop on the other end. And you're not getting that from the Blazers. It's been, they get stretches, extremely frustrating for Damian Lillard because his shot's not dropping. He's getting harassed. Another game with a ton of turnovers. McCollum certainly can score and did have 22 in last night's game three. But the Blazers rely so much on those two, and maybe where they thought they had brought in other pieces to balance out the offense, it's been the key. It's been the defense keying on Lillard and McCollum that has managed to help them build a 3-0 lead. So it's worked to perfection. You know, you want to take away the other team's best player. And to this point, for Terry Stotts, for the Blazers, they've had no answer to what the defense of the Pelicans has thrown at them.
New Orleans is playing, really selling out to stop Damian. You know, we see traps during the regular season. We see teams, but New Orleans has been very consistent with it. They've been very aggressive.
It's one thing to say this is what we need to do to be successful against them. It's another thing to actually go out there and execute it. And, you know, when things aren't going well, you know, and they hitting shots and, you know, they crowd gets into it, the game just gets harder.
Well, this was the game that was in New Orleans, but the two that were in Portland, hey, the crowd was supposed to be on your side, Damian Lillard. Yeah, it's we've heard this now from him in back-to-back games. It's been frustrating. The defense is doing whatever it needs to do to wear him out, to make him work hard for every shot, nothing easy. And on a balanced team, theoretically, the idea would be then someone else picks up the slack and someone else is able to provide the offense, but it hasn't been the case for the Blazers. Before that, Terry Stotts. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And so those three games took place on Thursday night with Philly and New Orleans and Golden State all winning. And now we go into the weekend, and we could have some series that end both in hoops and in hockey. I'm still holding out hope, though. I mean, can a girl get a game seven in maybe just one, maybe one in hoops and one in hockey? The Capitals and Blue Jackets now, they're a best of three. So we could very well get a game seven there. And in the NBA, yeah, we've got some series that still have potential, but we've also got some that you think might be over pretty quickly. But Cleveland, Indiana get on the court on Friday night. I'm trying to think about my days. Yes, Friday night. It is Friday. And then we'll see what happens with the top two seeds in the East. Actually, all three games on Friday come from the East, but Toronto and Boston have built their 2-0 leads and now head into enemy territory. Wonder if LeBron's going to raise the bar and pour in 50. That is the intrigue on a Friday night in Indianapolis. No, sorry. That was disrespectful to the Pacers. I didn't mean it to be that way. All right, coming up, a loss in broadcasting that is personal for me, and also the baseball story that I wanted to bring up before we hit the top of the hour and go into the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence from Chicago.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I hope that you won't mind if I spend a couple of minutes as the New Hampshire girl who also fell in love with sports on the radio when I was a teenager. And for people who are longtime Patriots fans or just longtime NFL fans, that voice, Gil Santos, is unmistakable. And as he said in his sign-off there in early 2013, he was in the booth with the Patriots for nearly four decades. But that wasn't all that Gil Santos did. He was also on one of the iconic news stations in Boston, WBZ, as a morning sports voice. And so he called Boston marathons and he called Olympics and whatever event or game he added his voice to, you would also get that singular passion and you would also get that flair. He's a Patriots Hall of Famer, but also beloved in New England, just for everything that he did in the booth and for the way that people, you know, kind of felt like they knew him after all those years. And the sad news came on Thursday evening that on his birthday, he passed away, according to his family. And I'm not sure if there's any updated information, but on Thursday evening, at least according to his family, they weren't sure why he had passed away. But I hate to hear that about Gil Santos, because this New Hampshire girl who fell in love with sports on the radio, and whether it was the Celtics, whether it was the Patriots, whether it was the Boston Red Sox, those were the teams that I listened to when I was growing up in the Granite State. Gil Santos was the Patriots for me. I mean, that was how I enjoyed the game. And yeah, I was so sorry to hear about the fact that he had passed away. So for a second, anyway, to take myself back to my bedroom where I would listen with my little radio and to hear those calls, of course, the Patriots for Super Bowl win, and the AFC Championship too, that featured the Troy Brown punt return for a touchdown, and then his sign off. He was synonymous with the franchise, and as sports fans, even this sports fan who's been in the business for so long, we get attached to those voices, we get attached to those personalities, and they become like a member of the team to us. So I know there are a lot of sports fans in the New England area who are mourning the loss of Gil Santos, and I am right there with you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and CBSSportsRadio.com. From Chicago and AM 670 The Score, where they've got many of their own iconic voices. And yeah, it's maybe for me as a broadcaster poignant, because it was a, you know, piece of my past that kind of got me to where I am now. But every time there's a broadcaster that we lose, it kind of takes us down memory lane, and you realize, man, how much that voice was a part of our growing up and our love affair with our teams. And that's one of the great things about fans, is that when we're really sold out and in love with a particular team, we are so loyal to anything that's, you know, that's part of that team and part of that experience. And the play-by-play announcers, they become like that. They become not only like our family, but it, you know, they're just as important to us as the team. They kind of form the soundtrack for our favorite team too. So, yeah. So as a fan girl, gosh, to listen to Gil was always something that I really look forward to. So yeah, I know in Chicago you have some of those announcers too, and around the country. So thanks for letting me just talk about that a little bit. We've got just a few minutes before we get to the top of the hour. I'm seeing a ton of your tweets about the NFL schedule. So you blow me away, the fact that you spent so much time looking at it. Good for you. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, or also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's see. I'll go through some of these tweets. Matt says it's the Packers' 100th anniversary, so all of the games in Green Bay. Those are always events anyway at Lambeau Field. But yeah, a year like this where there's so much history that will be represented and celebrated. And the Packers have gone out. They made a lot of changes, right? From their front office to their coaching staff, to their roster and their personnel. This could be a big year for the Packers. And some of you have sent me tweets about how you can't wait to see the Packers play in New England, actually, against the New England Patriots. Let's see. Kevin says, duh, Amy, New England against the New England Patriots. Kevin says the Atlanta Saints on Thanksgiving. Oh, Atlanta versus the Saints on Thanksgiving. I just read the tweet verbatim, and that's how it came out. Andrew says, my buddy is a Niners fan, so Niners, Packers, Monday Night Football, we are going. And then he also says Packers and Falcons. Wally has sent me a composite of the entire NFL schedule with helmets.
Kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. I don't know where this picture came from, but I'm not surprised. It's, you know, it's one of those grids that has the teams alphabetically on, you know, vertically on the left side, and then the weeks of the schedule at the top. And it's got buys in there too, but it's a lot of helmets, a lot of traffic and a lot of helmets, a lot of crushing of the helmets. So that's kind of cool, but far too busy for me to look at just in the few seconds that I got here to check through these tweets. Let's see, another tweet. The Patriots versus Houston could be great game week number one. It'll be good to see Deshaun Watson back on the field. I agree with that. Let's see. Another tweet here. Traveling with the Green Legion. Oh, this is an Eagles fan. Traveling with the Green Legion to London and New Orleans to see the Super Bowl champs. For some reason, the 8 season tickets don't seem to be enough. John says the Bengals and Steelers week 17 should be interesting for the AFC North Division or the AFC Wildcard. Okay, I feel like I'm getting trolled here. Really? Week 17, and you think that could end up being a division title? I mean, I guess you could hope that it's that way, or there's a distinct possibility, but come on. Week 17? I can't think that far down the road. I just can't. It was probably a good thing that I didn't spend nearly as much time on the web Thursday because of the trip to Chicago and the event that I was part of. But after I was done with my event and watching basketball in my hotel room and kind of catching up on what happened during the day, I saw that there were a bunch of predictions for the entire season. Literally predictions for every team and their records for the season. No, negative Ghost Rider. It's way too early for that. So those of you who are sending me tweets about how this game could decide the division, you're trolling me. I know it. All right. So on Twitter and then on our Facebook page, too, I know there's a spot there where some of you have been weighing in about football. I mean, I'll confess it's a little bit too early in April for me to go through the schedule, but I don't mind if you tell me what it is that you're really looking forward to. Zach says on Facebook, it is really far away. But yeah, week one, Green Bay and the Bears. And that can't be a middle finger emoji. Wait a minute. I don't know. It's bear down. Okay. It's an arrow, but as it's really tiny on my computer with the Facebook page. And so I wasn't sure if it was a fist with a middle finger pointing upward, but no, it's the top of the arrow. Never mind. It's not a middle finger. But it took me a second to figure that out. Maybe I should check my eyesight. Yeah, no middle fingers. It's too early for that too. It's not football season yet. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. As we head toward the top, I know there's been a lot of buzz about the New York Yankees and the changes that Aaron Boone is making with Giancarlo Stanton to try to get him more comfortable, dropping him in the lineup. But honestly, the other New York baseball team, there's a potential change brewing that I would hate to see. And maybe it won't happen. But at least right now, there's some scuttlebutt about Matt Harvey because he's had a really difficult start to the season, and Thursday night was no different.
That's lofted down the right field line toward the corner, and it's into the corner for an extra base hit. Two runs will score. Tucker goes to second with a two-run double, and the route is on. It's now 6-0 Atlanta.
The Mets radio network, and you can hear the grave tone of voice there. Now, the Mets are off to a good start. It's not like they're in some kind of a dire straits here. And even if they did lose on Thursday night to the Atlanta Braves, one of their rivals, and that they've had a good start to the season, most of their pitching has been good. That's their first loss of the year on the road. But there is some concern about Matt Harvey because the last couple of years have been rough for him. He's gone through some injuries, both pitching injuries and otherwise physical injuries. And after he gave up 6 runs in the 6 innings against the Braves, his ERA is now at 6. He doesn't have a win yet. His ERA is skyrocketing. And Mickey Callaway, who's the new Mets skipper, was asked about Matt Harvey's next start and whether or not they would skip it or whether there could be changes in the rotation. And so you know what the media does after hearing Callaway's answer that, you know, there's been no decision made yet. I mean, vague. That's what managers do, especially in major markets where everything can get twisted. Then everyone runs to Harvey and says, hey, what do you think about potentially moving to the bullpen? Or what do you think about, you know, maybe skipping a start and la, 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 la. And he wasn't having it.
I'm a starting pitcher. I've always been a starting pitcher, and that's I think I showed that in the fifth, sixth inning I can get people out still in the fifth, sixth inning when my pitch count gets up. So I'm a starting pitcher.
Okay, so absolutely no wishy-washiness in that response with Harvey. I say it's maybe time to have a little bit of patience. Again, the last couple of years he's had injuries, and so to give him some time, a little more rope, and not freak out about baseball in April. They're a pipe dream about having a rotation through the course of the season for the Mets with all of its potential. Great superstars there. We've seen some of that potential in the past. But to start pulling guys and putting them in the bullpens, and it's not even been a full month of the regular season yet. But that's New York and big cities. That's baseball in New York and other big cities where everything's under a microscope. But it is good to hear that Harvey's attitude and his responses are in midseason form. That always makes it more entertaining. Gotta love it. New managers in situations where there's no honeymoon period. It's just go, and we will crush you if things do not go well. Thanks so much for tuning in to the show. I appreciate, again, Mitch Rose and the PD here in Chicago and AM 670 The Score for having me. It's been a while, but it's good to be back. Excited to spend the next 24 hours hanging out with family that lives in the area. As always, you can find me on Twitter, A.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.